Good morning, gentlemen. So glad you are all here for our winter men's fellowship. What a great showing. And just want to give a shout out. I know he doesn't want it, but I'm so thankful for Lee to help coordinate the food. So thank you, Brother Lee. And we also have the Smith boys. They're also a blessing. Where are they? Oh, they're in the back. Okay, the boys in the back. All right, so thankful for that. But the most important meal that we have, of course, is the Word of God. It's faithful and true. It'll never fail us. And the guy that I'm going to be bringing up here, you know him, Dan Jones. He's a missionary that we support as a church in Mexico, southern Sonora. And we've been there a number of times, and many of you have actually gone on some of those trips. And you know yourself how impactful it is to be able to see what a missionary is doing in the field and just being able to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus and encourage them in what they're doing. From my heart, regarding long-term missionaries that we support, is to be thinking through how can we keep a long-term missionary long-term, if that's what God's called them to do. And we want to be able to support our missionaries like that. When you have a good friend, that's a blessing, right? But when you can say that you've known someone for over 12 or 13 years, that is a true blessing from the Lord when you have a relationship like that. And so I'm going to invite up Dan Jones, and I'll let him talk about what God's put on his heart and a little bit about his background. So, brother, come on up.
Thanks, bro. Thank you. Good morning. What a blessing to be here with all these men. We're really blessed where we're at because we have a lot of men also. Not like this, but most churches in Mexico don't have a lot of men that attend. It's usually women and children, and we've been real fortunate to have God bring lots of men into our congregation, so that's always a super blessing. But like, this is awesome for a men's prayer breakfast. This is just incredible for me. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this day, for this opportunity, Lord God, to come together and to be able to share with each other. And we pray, Lord, that you would pour your Holy Spirit out on us and help us to be concentrated on you and only you, that you'd be glorified in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this was kind of difficult. You know, what do you share with these guys that you guys are getting fed a good balanced meal all the time each week? And so, I didn't think you really needed a Bible study. You don't from me, but I was told I could do one anyway. So, since that's all I do in Mexico, that's all we do is, you know, we go through the Word and we. I don't start in Genesis because a lot of times I don't know how long people will have me coming back. All the places that I go are just Mexico is Catholic, basically. So all the places that I go, at first there's some opposition, and if there are Christians, they're usually from a more legalistic background. So we have different kinds of things that we run into. But the Lord's just been super gracious with us and opening doors. And how many of you have been down there before? All right. Praise God. The Lord's opened a lot of doors, and we get to share the Word in a lot of different places. But like I say, I usually start in the Gospel of John because I don't know how long I'll be coming back. And I think if I can just get them to hear the Gospel of John, even if I can't go back, even if they don't want me to come back, they've heard that, you know. So they've got a good start. But in several of these places now, I haven't counted. I should really count. But I've already gone through the whole New Testament, and one place we're in Genesis, and in different places we've now gone through it at least once. I was talking just a few minutes ago. I have a prison ministry. Where's the brother that, there you are, but you've been there, and have you been to the prison, you haven't been to the prison, have you? You've been to the prison? All right. So two of you, three of you have been to the prison before. The prison ministry there came out natural. Everything I do is, let's see, background. First of all, I became a Christian in 1975 because I was living in Costa Mesa. You guys have heard of Costa Mesa before, right? Chuck Smith. So I was living in Costa Mesa, and the Lord had just put me there. I moved from Texas to Costa Mesa. And everywhere I would go, I would see Jesus freaks. And I'd see their stickers, and I started going to the church and sitting in the back row, and I would take people, you know, let's go to church. And I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about Jesus, but I knew that I was messed up and that I needed help. And I thought I might find it there. And I would always go under the influence. I would sit, I think it's about 150 feet from the pulpit. You know, it's a big church. So I would sit in the very back row, and I would be sitting there just thinking, oh my, how in the world can this man know all of these people, about 3,000 people? Because in order to be singling me out, you know, in order to be saying something, you know, specifically to me, that means he has to know everybody else here and know I'm not from here. And my logic, you know, I had no idea what the Holy Spirit was, who the Holy Spirit was. So it wasn't, you know, a cliche. You know, he's speaking to me. No, he saw me. and you know how it is. Like right here, I can't single out hardly anybody because just this small of a group. After about 3 years of sitting under Chuck Smith, I heard him say several times, if you've heard this before, it's probably time for you to get out and start something someplace else. And I thought, well, you know, I haven't heard everything he said before, but I've heard him say that before. And about the third time, I started praying about going out. And Chuck was sharing Hebrews chapter 11, and he was saying how all these died without having received the promises. Now, it's speaking of the heroes of faith. But they lived as pilgrims and aliens on the earth. And because of that, God isn't ashamed to be called their God. And I was like, I want that. You know, I want to do that. I want to be a pilgrim. I want to be an alien. And I went to the office, and there was a little help wanted section. And someone was asking for help for a children's home that was starting up in Mexicali. And so I was, that's me, you know, I'll go there. And just the first door that opened was Mexico. And it was, and from California, this is like a 3-hour drive and then 2 hours across the border. But so I started going there every weekend, and I thought I was doing really well with Spanish. I had no clue at all. Bible school background. I had Chuck Smith, you know, just sitting under Chuck Smith and listening to his Bible studies, going through the Bible. I did that for 9 months. And then at the end of 9 months, Chuck also mentioned that there was going to be a school, a missionary language school in Alamos, Sonora. And I'm like, that's me. And I thought, man, there's going to be a bunch of us. But there ended up being 5 of us that went. And of us 5, 3 of us are still in the field, which is awesome. But that's where I started with missions. And that was 1979. And so I got married in 1980. I thought, you know, I need to marry. Well, actually, it was my grandmother who helped me there. My grandmother said, oh, Danny, you know, I'm from Texas. You're probably going to end up marrying some Mexican. And I was like, Wow, Mama, that's a good idea. You know, I hadn't thought about that, and so I started looking for a Mexican that would marry me, and thank God I found my wife. She wasn't my wife then, but she is now. We've been married for going on 45 years now. So, yeah. I didn't speak the language. I was extremely rudimentary. I couldn't speak Spanish. I thought I did. I communicated really well. I don't know how, but she understood. And I asked someone, how do you say, will you marry me, in Spanish? And they told me. And so I asked her, and she was like, what? You know, she didn't speak any English at all. So now she corrects my Spanish and my English. So, but that's just the way it is. So we got married 7 months after I met her, which was pretty fast. To me, it seemed like a long time. To her, I think it seemed fast, but we have 3 children, 8 grandchildren, and everything, like I said, everything that the Lord has done with this has all been things that He's put on my heart. And I was looking at Psalm 37, where he says that, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And I heard an interpretation of that one time that I really live by, and I think is real true, that if you delight yourself in the Lord, He puts the desires in your heart that He wants for you, and because He knows what we need, He knows what we want. And right now, let's look at Colossians 1, and I'd like to just start in the first, but on what we're talking about right there, it says in verse 16, it says, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And the in Spanish, when I was reading that, it really struck me. And it does in English now, but I think I had overlooked it before, but it says, all things were created through Him and for Him. And when I think about that, the only thing that can make me fulfilled, the only thing that makes me complete, is when I'm living for the purpose for which I was made. And I was made by Him and for Him. I was made, He made me, and He made me for Himself. And so if I want to be fulfilled, if I want to be happy, if I want to be complete, I need to be living for the purpose for which I was made. And I was made for Him, to please Him. And so pleasing Him is what pleases me. It's what makes me be fulfilled. It's what makes me be complete. It what makes me not go through midlife crisis. You know, I'm going to be 69 next month. No, today's February, right? At the end of the month, I'll be 69, and I see old people, like 90 years old people, and that have been serving the Lord, and I'm envious, and I think, wow, they're almost there. You know, you've almost or people that like Warren Drew. How many know Warren Drew? A lot of you guys. Warren Drew, he's gone now. You know, but you know, he served the Lord, and now he's gone. And you know, you don't want to see people leave, but at the same time, it's like graduated. You know, you've gone on. You made it. You know, you ran your race like Paul, Peter, and I with Paul and Peter and the apostles and obviously Jesus. But when you see their attitude towards death, you know, the Lord showed me I'm not going to be here much longer, and I just wanted to take the opportunity to share these things with you while I'm still here. Instead of, you know, please pray for me that I won't have to go so soon. No, I'm out of here. But before I go, I want you guys to know there's nothing more important than living for the One who created you, and He created you for His purpose to be pleasing to Him. And if you want to be happy, please God, and just seek to be in His will. We'll start in, I guess, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. How do you say that? Colossians, right, the book of Colossians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up in heaven for you, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declare to us your love in the Spirit. We get a lot of opportunities that, like everything that we, every place I go, is there are doors that the Lord's opened. So we're always asking people to pray for that, for open doors and guidance, and also for closed doors, because the same way as, you know, you want the open doors, instead of spinning my wheels, I'd like to have a closed door when that's necessary. So to think of the places that I'm going now, one is the prison, and I got started in the prison ministry. Well, let me back up. First of all, when I was going to Mexicali, I really wanted to be in children's ministry, because I was raised in a family where I had seven stepdads. And so from the time I was 7 years old, I dreamed of being a dad, you know, just to be there for my kid and everything. I wasn't needy, you know, I'm not a victim or anything like that, but I just wanted to be a dad. You know, I wanted to be able to protect my kids, and so that was actually a dream I had of 7 years old, and I had this little 2-year-old girl, and so this was something that was God built into me to be able to protect kids. And so when I was going to Mexicali, I found out that in Baja California, most of the orphanages that were there at that time, I can't speak to now, but most of the orphanages that were there at that time, there weren't orphans. There were kids that, because the place was there, the people would deposit their kids there as extended daycare for until they were 12, 13, and they could work, and then they would take them out. And so I didn't realize that until after I went to Alamos and learned Spanish and came back. So I didn't like the thought of building a place or putting up a place and creating a need instead of meeting a need, if you know what I mean. You know, like by putting it there, okay, we can dump our kids off here. And I didn't want to do that. And so the Lord had put that on my heart, but it just didn't seem right. So a friend of mine went to Nicaragua, Mike Godet. I don't know if anybody knew Mike Godet, but he went to Nicaragua. He had been with us in Mexico for a while, and he was working at an orphanage. This was in 1997. And he asked if I could come and help him for a few weeks, because he was taken over for the director while they were on leave. And I went, and I saw a need from a war-torn country. The government was taking children away from really bad situations and putting them in a place. And I thought that was something that this is legit. You know, this is good. I got back, and it turned out that a guy that we had been helping, because we had a school on our property, we had been helping this guy. He had been studying to become a lawyer, and they made him the lawyer of the town Obregón, where I go for the prison ministry now. And he was in charge of placing children in children's homes, taking them from bad situations, and so it was just you know, a God-made thing where it was very natural. And I told him, you know, that's where I just came from. I'd love to help you guys out. And he said, okay, 6 months, you know, you do the paperwork, and in 6 months, we'll be sending you kids. I think it was 7 days later, we got our first three. You know, and then you know, we ended up having over probably 40, 50 children that went through our place. That was, you know, it was awesome. It was, there was a need. I was a dad to all of them, and you know, to this day, you know, I still consider their dad, because they didn't have dads. You know, they were from broken families, and they didn't have dads. And let's see, 2008, 2009, a corrupt official took over the town that we live next to. He was a young man, and he became the guy that was over the placing children, the Children Protection Services. And it turned out he was corrupt, and he was doing falsifying documents and doing things like that. And the people, we had great favor with the people that we've been working for over 10 years, But they didn't like this guy, and so they wanted to expose him. And since we're not political, they asked me to write a letter, and I was like, you know, I don't know what this guy's doing. I just know he doesn't come around. So I didn't get involved on that level to accuse him of anything because I didn't know anything. I just invited him. You know, come to the place, check things out. You know, see how things are going, see the children, and he didn't. But the next thing I knew, the police had arrested him. And they said that he was trafficking in organs and trafficking in children, and that's what they were arresting him for. And it turned out that I found this out about 5 months later, after my stay in prison, that what had happened was they had made a letter, an anonymous letter, the people from that wanted him to be taken care of. And they said that he was doing this, trafficking in organs and sex trafficking, which wasn't, I don't think that was true. But they used one adoption. We had hardly any adoptions ever take place through our place because as far as I was concerned, we would adopt them. But it was a really good friend of ours, a couple. And so we highly approved of a little girl that we'd had for a long time. And they used that adoption, which we found out later was falsified. The guy had signed the judges. Anyway, it was a political thing. And since I'm not into politics, I didn't know what was going on. And what happened was this man, his brother was a radio broadcaster in Navajoa at a radio station. And so he made a big scandal, and they had parades and manifestations, this guy's innocent, you know, let him free, this guy's innocent, so they let him free. And then they went to our ranch, and which was fine. We were in the process of adopting all the little people that we had raised. You know, we were trying to adopt them all before they turned 18. You know, so we had 17-year-olds now that had been living with us. And so we were in Hermosillo, the capital of Sonora, when one of our daughters, adopted daughters, called and said, "Hey, Dad, you know they're here and they want to go through our ranch." And I said, "Let them. You know, I don't have anything to hide." Turns out I did. My son was in college, and he had hidden his guns, his hunting guns, in our house, like on the second story and above something. I had no clue. It was outside of my knowledge. I had no knowledge. But to make a long story short, that led us into a prison ministry because I was in jail for 5 months, the Lord prepared me for that also because before I became a Christian, I'd been in jail probably 10 times for 3 days. A week was the longest time. You know, they're all minor things, dumb things. You know, not showing up for traffic, possession of marijuana, things like that. But so the officials were really worried about me going into the prison. You know, how many years ago was that? 15 years ago. So 54-year-old, you know, white male going into the prison. I was like, I'll be fine. You know, I'll be fine. I was, you know, telling everybody, I'll be fine. You know, I'll be fine. And I was. You know, I had a I was fine. I'm not going to say I had a great time. You know, I didn't like it. You know, I didn't like the accommodations. 61 people and a cell for 20 for the first 9 days. But one of the things that I really want to pin down is this. Because I read the Word every day, and because I'm always constantly feeding on the Word, you read about Paul, you read about Peter, going to prison, and you see Joseph. I'm having trouble with translating the names because I'm always saying them in Spanish. But you see these people that were imprisoned, that were shipwrecked, that were beaten, stoned, and you know they didn't lose faith, And there's no reason for us to either. So I never doubted, you know, God, why am I here? What did I do? I mean, what did I do wrong? Not even a minute, you know, past my thoughts, you know, why am I here? Why am I being punished? You know, it was never being punished. It was like, okay, what do you want to do? You know, what do you want me to do? And I've had a lot of instances like that where, because I was made by him and for him, you know, whatever, and since every day I say, Lord, here I am, use me. What do you want to do with me? That's to me, that's really important. Whatever you do, you know, whatever you want to do is fine with me. You know, obviously I like the easier transitions and the easier things, but you know, just use me. I want to be fruitful. I want to be fruitful because I know this is a momentary thing that we're going through right here, and that soon we'll be through, you know, this. And it's going to be much better to have gone through hard trials because God wanted to use you in those hard trials than to have sailed through without any problems and get there and, well, you made it. You know, I want to hear well done. Good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things, you know, enter into the joy of your Lord. But another instance, flying back with a young man from where I go on Saturdays and I come back on Sunday morning, my engine threw a rod. And I'm over the mountains. And so I had to fly as far as I could before it was just all up in smoke and the propeller stopped and to be able to get to a river. And I made it to this river and we landed in the river and we're talking, you know, with the engine that I fly, it's a $20,000 engine. And that's a lot for me. I mean, that's not a lot for an airplane, but that's a lot for me. And I'm like, okay, this is not good, but we landed, and as soon as we landed, we were surrounded by mafia with machine guns, and I don't mean, they weren't pointing them at us, but they all had machine guns, and we were coming from a rival area, and God just, you know, gave me grace and mercy, and I joked with them and said we were coming from, you know, so on such and such a place, and they all say hi. You know, you know, and the poor guy that I was with wasn't a believer, and so we're going down, and he's, you know, crossing himself, and I'm like, dude, that's not going to work. You know, here, hold the fire extinguisher, you know, and pray, but that's not going to get you anywhere. But here's the fire extinguisher because we had smoke coming in, and we didn't know if there was going to be flames. And then, you know, I don't know if that scared him more or if it was the mafia, you know, him being from another place, even though he was probably related to some of them. But because I read the Word all the time, and this is why it's so important to be daily in the Word, because I read the Word all the time, the first thing that came to my mind was, okay, this is really bad. You know, this is going to cost me a lot of money. I have to get my plane towed out of here. We have to take it apart and tow it out of here. I had landed near a dirt road next to a riverbed, so you know, I picked a place where I could land. What should I do? And okay, hey guys, come here. You know, we're gonna do a Bible study. And I didn't say, you guys want to do a Bible study? I was like, we're gonna do a Bible study. And so all the guys gather around and with their machine guns. And everything, and we did a Bible study. We did Revelations chapter 13. You know, the beast and the mark and the image, and I got to exhort them and pray for them and made friends, but it was because I read Acts all the time. I'm in the Word, and you know, I'm seeing things like that. So just because naturally, you're reading those things, when something like that happens, you know, and instead of going, oh man, you know, what, and losing the opportunity, you know, you think, okay, now what would Paul do? What would Jesus do? You know, what should I do? And how can I take advantage of this instead of crying about it? So So I've had my prison ministry for 15 years. We only stopped because of COVID. And at that point, I thought, okay, you know, I get to do something else now. This is good. So I had Mondays off for 2 years. And then they called me back. And once they opened up, they're like, "Dan, we really want you to come back." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, I'll be there." And I told the prisoners, I just said, you know, I thought I had done my sentence. You know, I thought I had done my time. But the pastor here called me back, so I guess my parole's been revoked. And it's been a blessing. It's a real blessing. That's, you know, another thing. Most of the places that we go to are from, well, not all of them, the ones I'm going to now. The places that we started where we have people that come that are around our area, it's from one family, you know, and then their family from another place invites us and like that. So that's the way that's happened. The places that we go now, the Lord opened the door. I was a hang glider pilot for several years. It was something that I quit doing it because I was too involved, too infatuated. Like I just felt like I felt one day like the Lord said, "Would you give this up for me? You know, you really like hang gliding, and would you give this up for me?" Of course. You know, it wasn't audible, but it was real clear. And I just thought, of course I would. And then I thought, oh, maybe I should. You know, I mean, maybe he's asking me to give it up, and so I quit, which was hard. And then I was sharing with another brother before. I found out that this place that we were going to that took 12 hours to get to, Temoris, we went there with a pilot, and it took about 15 minutes to get there. And I was like, wait a second. You know, and I look at a map because I didn't look at maps. This was before cell phones. Cell phones. And I realized it's only 50 miles away from where I'm at. And it takes us 12 hours to get there. And we have to drive 2 hours, a train trip for many, many hours. I started thinking that would be a good thing, you know, to be able to fly to these places. But because it was something that I'd given up, you know, I thought, this is my flesh. You know, this is probably my flesh. And so, Lord, if you want to do this, you know, please open the door. And I guess it was about 25 years later, someone told me, you know what? You told me 25 years ago, 30 years, I think they said 30, but I think it's probably around 25 years. You said this about 25, 30 years ago that you wanted to do this and that you were praying about it. And so a brother that lives in Alamos told me, hey, this guy is coming, and he wants to have a meeting about finding a place to put an airstrip in to be able to fly into the mountains to reach the indigenous peoples. Are you interested in being there? And I was like, are you kidding me? You know, like, you know, is this? And he said, no. The next morning, the guy was there. Right away, he started my training for motorized flying, and now I have 2,300 hours going into the areas, the badlands around us, and the places. The place where I go Friday, it, to drive there, it takes 20 hours to drive there from our place, and it's only 60 miles away. So it takes me 40 minutes to fly there. You know, it's incredible. So now all of a sudden we have these open doors. The one place where I go on Saturdays where we actually have a place now, right on the airstrip, airstrip property, if anybody's interested in buying airstrip property, I know a real estate agent that can hook you up. It's probably $6,000, you know, to get in, but anyway, it's cheap. But this place, I flew by it several times. And every time I'd fly by, there wouldn't be anybody there. And finally, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to land. And I was looking for people in the prison. I'd ask, does anybody know anybody in Palmarito? And finally, I just landed. And it turned out that I had just landed right after they had sent off a plane loaded with marijuana. And so there were all these guys, again, with guns on the airstrip. And I just said, hey, you know, I'm so-and-so, and this is, and they took me to their store, bought me a Coke. I don't drink Coke, but I drank it. I'd say that for my wife, because Coke is bad. But I drank a Coke with them, and I said, this is what I do. You know, you guys gather around, I think it was like 10 to 12 guys, and we started the Gospel of John. And now we've been through, and we're back. We've gone through Genesis and several books of the Old Testament, and we're going back again. We're back in Acts now. You know, we started through another gospel, and but after I had been going there for a while, this other place that I go to that I ended up giving someone a ride for, they told me that the first few times that we went by, that one guy actually hid in a crevice and covered himself with leaves. And I'm like, dude, we can't even see you from, you know, up there. We weren't, you know, but they were telling me that they were hiding. And I was laughing, telling the people, you know, where I go on Saturdays, Palmarito, I was telling them about this, and they said, yeah, we did too. Oh, no wonder I never saw anybody. They would always hide. You know, they thought we either rival drug people. Because when I first started flying there, everywhere I went, there were marijuana fields and poppy fields. And so they thought we were either rival factions or we were government or soldiers. And so they would hide. And it just, so the Lord opens up all these places, and he does it because we want to be used. I know there's nothing better than to be used by him, to be able to be living for the purpose for which I was created. And at this point, it's just to share his love. We have another place that we go on Wednesdays that was reachable. It takes 3 hours to get to the first town walking, so it's one of the closest places to transportation. It's where the people come from the areas that I go to. They come by the river to go by there, and then it's only 3 hours more to where they can get a vehicle to drive someplace. So it's all by foot or by horseback there, and these people have been reached by the apostolics, which is Jesus only. Real legalistic, women with earrings go to hell, women with pants, I mean, they don't even, there's no way they're not going to hell. But real legalistic, I love them, they're very outgoing, they try to evangelize, but it's always the law, it's just the law, it's the way you were baptized. If you were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it's invalid because it's only Jesus, you know. But this place, I didn't really want to go there because these guys were deeply entrenched in this. They believe in Jesus, which to me I don't want to go on that. So I consider them my brothers, but just brothers that are messed up, you know, that don't know the Word, that don't know the grace of God. But they wanted me to start coming there, and so we've been going there and going through the Word and seeing this is what the Holy Spirit does. This is what, you know, all these things that you do, it's good. But if you don't have love, you don't have anything. You know, if you don't love people, if you don't love the Lord, I know you love the Lord, but it seems like you're more in love with the law, as opposed to the love of God, like the Pharisees. They're so much like the Pharisees. But it's been awesome to see them changing too, the Word. But it's always the Word. Everywhere we go, you know, we start and until they say, you know what, nobody's coming. Fortunately, it's been very few places that we haven't continued, you know, through at least the whole New Testament. You know, so anyway, back to the word here. Sorry, it says in verse 8. Let's see. Who also declare to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I love seeing the prayers that the apostles had for their people, which is now as us. But to be able to walk in a way that's worthy of the person that's called us. Tomorrow, you know, I'd like to talk about what we are, but right now, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what we need to be doing, walking in the Spirit, you know, being at God's beck and call. What do you want me to do today? What do you want to do with me today? Even though I'm very anti-religious, but I do a lot of things religiously. I need to do things religiously, but I'm not religious. I have a relationship, but the Bible studies I do, it's every week, and I don't like to miss. You know, I need to be consistent for my own self. I need to be consistent. If I stop doing something. And it's hard for me to not, I have to be doing something consistently. So I have to do things religiously, even though I'm anti-religious, if you understand that. But being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We always need to be growing in the Word. We always need to be in fellowship. This is awesome. You know, you guys getting together, men getting together. This is just awesome because you guys sharpen one another. You encourage one another. You're not alone. You know, this is just awesome. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. It's amazing how often the Word of God speaks about suffering and suffering and long suffering and how in Revelations I have to translate it again. It says that those who will go be taken captive will be taken captive. Those who will die by the sword will die by the sword. And in this, the faith and the perseverance of the saints will be made known. And you go, wow, how is it going to be made known? By going to prison and by being killed. You know, that shows our faith. And I always think of, again, Paul and Peter are my best examples. You know, they knew they were going to die. And it's like, okay, this is how I'm going to seal my testimony. I want you guys to know everything I'm saying, I'm going to die now. And before I do, you know, I want you guys to know this. You know, everything I said, you know, it's the gospel. I believe it. Okay, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience, long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So to wrap it up, there's more there. You guys should read it afterwards, but it gets, again, to why we were created. But to wrap it up, to me, it's so important what you guys are doing, like getting in the Word. But you know, obviously, it has to be a daily practice. You know, you should be daily in the Word because if you are, no matter what comes to the door, no matter what happens, you'll be ready. And just knowing that, hey, when I woke up this morning, I said, God, here I am. You know, I'm at your service. Please use me. So no matter what happens, you're not going to be going, well, what happened? But if I don't get up in the morning, if I'm not seeking God and something happens, then I'm going to be, oh, man, I should have been seeking God. I don't know why this happened. I don't worry about anything that happens. If I have an accident, if I get sick, if I get imprisoned, I'm not worried about it because I know I'm seeking God. I know I'm asking Him to do His will, and I trust, it's super easy to trust, that whatever happens, it's because He's allowing it, and He's going to be glorified. And in the end, 1,000 years from now, the only thing that's going to matter was that God was glorified in our lives, not what we purchased or what we possessed or what we died with. It's going to be what we were able to accomplish, He was able to accomplish through us. And last thing, it's awesome to be reading the Gospels and to see how fallible the apostles were. You know, I mean, Peter, the rock, Paul calling him a hypocrite. You know, and I love Paul. Paul's probably my role model as far as people go. But I imagine he was not an easy person to hang out with. I mean, I can't wait to be with him, you know, to meet him and everything. But I imagine he was not an easy person to hang out with. But you know, we if we're faithful, God, if God, you know, used Peter and those guys, James, you know, James. Never mind. I don't want to get into politics. But if He could use them, He can use us. He can use anybody. And the only guy that was really qualified was Paul. And what did he say, Paul? The chief of sinners. Exactly. You know, not the, hey, man, I'm more qualified than any of you guys. You guys, none of you went to Sanhedrin school or Pharisee school. You know, none of you guys were, yeah. So Jesus can use anybody, and He will use anybody that wants to be used and that wants to live for the purpose for which they were created. Father God, thank You so much for Your love for us. Thank You for this group of men, Lord, that love You and that have been called to be representatives of You, Lord God. I pray that You would continue to bear much fruit through them and that You would fill them all, Lord God, with joy and purpose for doing Your will each day, Lord God. Help them to fulfill the purpose for which they were created. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, bro.
What a great word for us on a Saturday morning. You know, the Lord brought a verse to mind, and it's in Philippians 1:6. And you're probably familiar with it, but Paul writes, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so often we look at that and we cling to that promise that God is doing a work in us and that He is going to finish it. And it comforts us, right, to know that God hasn't cast us off, but He's got a plan. You know, we like to say as guys, it's a verse that speaks about us being under construction, right? We realize, oh, God loves me. He's not going to abandon me. He's going to continue to work with me. And even so powerfully as we submit to Him, as the clay should submit to the potter. But when we look at that verse, it should never be used as an excuse for not jumping into what God has put in front of us and the opportunities that God gives to us. And over the years, you know, I've said to myself, well, this is probably not an open door of the Lord because I'm not qualified, I don't have the experience, I don't have the resources or whatnot. Well, you know, if it was qualifications or experience when they were hiring astronauts, we would have never gone to the moon, right? But how much more so does that apply in faith? When we look at Hebrews chapter 11 with the great hall of faith, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on, and they say, it is possible to live a godly life in an ungodly world and please the Lord and do things that you would never imagine for the Lord. But it's for the Lord's glory. So men, even though we're under construction and we want to please the Lord, never let that promise be any kind of an excuse for stepping out and doing what's right before the Lord in these last days. Well, how do you know what's right? What's God's will for my life? It's right here in His book. You know, we like to alliterate the word Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. So basic instructions before leaving earth. So, Brother Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
when I reached out to them and I asked them if they could come up this winter, and they said, yeah, you bet. And I was like, oh, well, sweet. And I said, well, what would you think about these dates? And they're like, yeah, sounds good, bro. And I said, okay, well, here's the flights. What do you think of these flights? Perfect, you know, thumbs up on WhatsApp chat. And I'm thinking, am I missing something? This seems too easy. And we're just really blessed that you and Anna came. You guys will get to meet Anna tomorrow. I hope your wives get to meet Anna. Dan's going to be sharing with us tomorrow morning for the two services. Keep these guys in prayer. They're doing a really, really good work. And they're missionaries that we support. Their information is on the bulletin board for missions. And you can send them an email to get on their newsletter. But also another little great factoid about Dan and Anna. Do you remember a few months ago when we had Pastor Louis Monteith from Calvary Chapel here? He started a missions ministry called Go Missions or Go Ministries. And Dan and Anna Jones, they were the first missionaries that they started in their brand new ministry. So it's pretty amazing. So God bless you guys. I hope every single one of you met somebody new. I pray that you guys have a wonderful, safe rest of your morning. And just be careful driving, especially with whatever the weather's going to do tomorrow morning. So God bless you guys and have a great day.